Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb, the Monday edition here on Wake Up Call. Glad you could be with us. Because we've got a lot of football to get to, but we got the good, the bad, and the dumb. So what's the good of the day?
The good of the day is that Mac Brown or Shane Beamer is going to have to take one for the team.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
So we have all these fun bowls games coming up, right?
Yes.
And traditionally at the end of the game in all of football, you know, the winning coach gets a Gatorade bath.
Right.
Now, with these fun bowl games, like, you know, our favorite, the Tony the Tiger Frosted Flakes Bowl, whatever. I can't remember the actual
name. Love
that
one. Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl.
There it is.
Yes.
You know, the winning coach gets dumped with Frosted Flakes.
Or
the Cheez-Its Bowl, they get dumped with Cheez-Its instead of Gatorade. Well, we have the Duke's Mayo Bowl coming up, featuring North Carolina and South Carolina. Last year, it ended in disappointment because the winning coach was, in fact, dumped by Gatorade. So, Danny Morrison, the executive director of the Duke's Mayo Bowl, laid down the gauntlet and promised a $10,000 donation to the charity of whomever takes a mayo bath at the end of the game.
Okay, here's the thing. I like mayonnaise, but I don't know if I'd want to swim in mayonnaise.
Come on. You take one for the team, don't you?
For $10,000, I would.
For a $10,000 donation.
It's not disgusting. I mean, I like mayonnaise. It would be uncomfortable and a little weird and probably a little gross. But for $10,000, I would totally do it.
I mean, do you still do the on-field interview after the end of the game if you're covered in mayo?
Ooh, depends,
or the
right?
press conference at the end of the game?
Yeah.
If you're reporter, you just be like, no, you stand over there.
No. See, now, if it was the Miracle Whip Bowl, I wouldn't go anywhere near that garbage. That is a sin against mankind, that stuff. But I would if it was the Duke's Mayo Bowl. I wouldn't have any problems with that.
Yeah.
We have a jar of Miracle Whip in my house because my wife loves it. And we also have some mayonnaise in the house because I love it. And we are that family. And my wife thinks mayonnaise is disgusting. I think Miracle Whip is disgusting.
I don't have a preference, but I know we have mayo because my wife has a preference. Yeah.
You know, here's the other thing about that, by the way. Miracle Whip, and God bless them, I hate the stuff. They know people hate the stuff, and they did a whole ad campaign on talking about people who can't stand it living in houses with people who love it. Like, they just found famous people that were married and were like, I hate it, she loves it, he loves it, I hate it. And it worked for them. But no, if it was Miracle Whip, no. Duke's Mayo, yeah, fine.
But so, you wouldn't want a mayo bath after successfully beating your opponent?
For $10,000 to charity, I would take it. If it wasn't, I'd be like, no, give me the cool, refreshing taste of Gatorade.
And you know what else I love about these bowl games, too? The matchups that they grab.
Right.
You know, it's like written in the stars. Because here, for the Duke's Mayo Bowl, which I don't think has anything to do with Duke University.
It's Duke's, the company that makes the mayonnaise.
Yeah. But it just happens to be North Carolina versus South Carolina.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Both teams a lousy 6-6.
Yep.
But for North Carolina, I think more was expected. I think Sam Howell's their quarterback, and they were expected to do good things. South Carolina is a good 6-6 because they weren't really expected to do much.
I love the disparity there.
Right, I'll take that one. There you go. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is spitting.
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 Okay. Depends on the context. Well,
it needs to stop.
Anywhere?
Well, in a stadium.
Okay.
Okay? Because I have two stories for you. One is the University of Louisiana Lafayette fans.
Yeah.
Mainly the students, let's be honest here. Were spitting on Appalachian State players and staff during the Sun Belt Championship.
Oh, were they really?
Now, the thing is that their fans, the stands, are literally right on top of the bench.
Oh, that's awful.
You look at the sideline for the Appalachian State fans. They had to set up those little canopies, those tents, kind of at an angle. I mean, maybe it's to help block out the sun too, but it's also to block out, you know, people spitting on them.
Oh.
And then the other story is that the Toronto Argonaut players almost recreated Malice at the Palace.
Oh, did they really?
Because a couple, I know it was one fan definitely, but there could have been a couple fans were spitting beer on the players as they were heading back into the tunnel. So those players weren't having it and decided to jump into the stands and confronted some of the fans.
Yeah, jump right in there.
Yeah.
I don't think the Appalachian State thing, that is so terribly immature. I just can't imagine. Like that, like that's a like cool, the, like you think that that's a cool thing to do.
The Toronto Argonauts one, I mean, you know, you get a couple of drunk fans. I mean, they're spitting beer.
Yeah,
you know, you're chugging a beer and they're like, just blowing it on them. I can,
what
I'm not excusing
Lafayette,
it. I can see
that's
it.
A term for endearment.
Maybe it is.
You know, it's like we respect our opponents, and then they go, oh no, that's a thing they do. It's they like that.
Yeah, Chicago.
Oh, got it. That's crazy. Oh, yeah. But the beer, okay.
I know. I mean, you had a Malice in the Palace moment. Could have. It didn't. I mean, the fans or the players, you know, thankfully didn't escalate it. Like, one of the fans just all of a sudden came out swinging at a player.
But they're wearing football gear, right?
Yeah, no. And the player just literally pinned him up against the wall until security got there.
Right.
And he's like, I'm not swinging at you. Go ahead and hit me. I'm covered in pads. It's not going to hurt me. You know, and plus I'm an athlete and two times, you know, five times taller than you. So you're fine.
Right. Gotcha. All right. What is the dumb of the day?
Now, the dumb of the day, I don't know if this is a more local story here or if this made national news at all. And I'm waiting. There needs to be more to this. Right.
Right.
So we've all heard of Joel Osteen.
Yeah. Yeah. The preacher.
He has a mega church here in Houston. He has come under fire a bunch of times because
a couple of times.
Yeah.
I mean,
he makes like $100 million a year or something something ridiculous. I don't know if he makes that much, but I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of money he makes. Another time was when Hurricane Harvey was going on. They did not open the doors to allow people in while Mattress Mack was opening all his stores.
Yeah, but real quick, not to.
I know.
I mean, that's
go,
a bad thing.
Th-
was that an insurance issue, though?
I don't think it was an insurance issue.
Okay. I thought it was because they didn't. Their insurance for kind of said you couldn't and
yeah.
Whatever.
I admit.
But they still should. Like, it doesn't matter if your insurance says no. Just deal with the consequences and let people in to save their lives.
But this church. This latest story dates back to 2014, okay? They had filed a police report that hundreds of thousands of dollars were stolen from them. Like, somebody actually literally broke into a safe at Lakewood Church, which is Joel Osteen's church, and stole 100 envelopes that contained hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Okay.
A few earlier last week or mid last week, a plumber was fixing a toilet in the church. I had to remove the toilet to fix one of the tiles because one of the toilets was wobbly. And so he was removed the toilet, going to replace the tile and make sure, you know, everything stayed. So as he was removing the tile, he removed some insulation. Envelopes just started falling out of the wall.
Oh, so somebody was stealing within the church and stuffing the envelopes in the wall behind the toilet.
Yeah.
Are they blaming Joel Osteen for this?
No, it's just, I mean, they're not really pointing the finger at anybody. The plumber immediately contacted the maintenance man and goes, hey, man, I have like five envelopes here that's just filled with cash and checks. And
they were like, lo and behold, we were missing that in 2014.
Yeah, they haven't released the amount of money that was found, but, you know, they were saying that it's probably going to end up being around the same amount of money. So I'm curious about, okay, was this an inside job or how does one, you know, how do you put an envelope in a bathroom wall that's already sealed?
Well, okay. Well, does anybody know if there was construction in the bathroom in 2014?
During that time, that's why I'm saying there's more to the story that hasn't came out
right yet. So
I find it interesting that whoever decided
to take this money didn't need it for anything.
Right. Or was he placing it there, hiding it there.
Thinking he would need it, and they went, oh, crap.
There was a terrible Martin Lawrence movie. I don't know if it was Blue Streak or something like that, where he was an ex-con, or he was a convict who hit a diamond in a building, and then he went to jail, and then later, when he got out of jail, that building became a police station.
Oh, I got you.
And then he posed as a detective being transferred to from another station to that station so he can go and retrieve said diamond.
So that's what could have happened here.
Maybe that's what was happening here, okay. Is that they hid the money in the most, you know, unlikely place in the building itself. So that way they can never get caught and then just weren't able to get back to. I don't know.
I don't know the inner soul of Joel Osteen at all. I don't know the man. I don't know if he's. I've never even seen
maybe
the show.
Maybe he hid that money to claim insurance on top
I'm
of
looking,
that?
I'm looking. So that's what I'm thinking. Either a couple things here. Either one, because he sells a lot of books and he does a lot of speaking tours and that's where he makes his income, he doesn't need that kind of money. But two, you never know. People make money. People are rich all the time. They steal money all the time.
Yeah.
But two, there's a lot of hands in the cookie jar in a big operation like that. And you wonder if somebody wasn't getting paid enough or did it too many volunteer hours and found their way to thinking that they were going to get that money a little bit later down the road.
I'm just curious, was happening in 2014? Did he need some insurance? Because, I mean, if you claim that's a big enough amount that, you know, you can get money from insurance to back that up, right?
Sure, yeah.
You know, because if somebody broke into your safe.
I know this. If I worked at a place and I stole a bunch of envelopes with money in it, and I said, I'm going to hide this for a couple of years. I'm going to wait till the heat dies down. Then I'm going to get my money. And I put it in a wall, and then somehow, some way, word got out that that particular bathroom was being worked on. I would try to find my way to that money. You know, it's kind of like when the mob kills a guy and then buries him, and they're like, 10 years later, they're like, they're putting condos on that lot. And then you have to go back and dig up the skeleton. Like that, I would be concerned that, oh, that's where I get the money all those years ago, and they're working on the toilet.
Right.
Then I'd have to find a way to go back there to make sure that the plumber doesn't find my stash. Maybe
it was him that was like, you know, if I keep chipping away at this tile, you know, eventually it'll come loose and I will be able to just go to the bathroom for an extended period of time, an extended session, if you will, and be able to grab all this money, all this cash.
By the way, I would be an atrocious criminal. I would be caught 10 seconds after I decided to commit a crime.
Yeah.
I just don't have a criminal mind. I'm not saying I'm a smart guy that I might do these things with a brain like mine. I'd get caught 5 seconds after I started it. I'd probably walk out the front door with the envelopes going, I'm taking these home. Like, that's probably what I would do. I wouldn't even think of storing them in a wall for a couple of years.
Like, for whatever reason, my son used to do it. We would go to church, and if he was sitting there, he would just grab a whole stack of envelopes. I'm like, what are you doing with this? Like, I just want to take them. I'm like, why do you want to take them? There's nothing on these envelopes. Yeah, I know. I just need them. I need them for home. I'm going to write letters when I get home.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, he was three or four. Who cares?
All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Coming up, more from the NFL Week 13. Maybe not so much surprises, but some movement in terms of the playoff standings as we continue with Wake Up Call.